Today I'm in Bristol in the southwest of England, the most expensive city to live outside of London here in the UK. A city that is suffering an overwhelming housing crisis. So much so, there's rumours that people have resorted to living in caves. Let's explore these rumours and find out if they are in fact true.
Since 2010, the government announced more than £30 billion in cuts nationally to welfare payments, housing and social services, according to a study by the United Nations. These cuts have had a knock-on effect, with Bristol feeling the full force of these cuts, from soaring poverty and homelessness to a lack of housing. In July 2024, a damning report into the state of Bristol's council houses found serious failings in the way Bristol City Council has acted as the landlord to around 27,000 homes. With a backlog of over 16,000 repairs overdue, almost 2,000 homes with serious damp and mould problems, and 3,000 fire safety improvements that are yet to be completed. The government's regulator of social housing has issued an improvement notice and will now be working with the council to sort out the mess. A mess which council chiefs and politicians in the city recognise has been years, perhaps decades, in the making.
I can see all the shoppers enjoying the retail area of Bristol. Just parked my car in one of the main car parks in the centre of Bristol, and I'm now heading to the outskirts where the supposed location is of the cave dwellers. Just see how many tents are slap bang in the centre of Bristol city. You can see a tent there. There's a pink and a red one over there. And there's a gentleman completely passed out on the ground over here, next to his sleeping bag and things. Unfortunately, it's becoming more of a common sight across the country, but it still doesn't change how shocking it is to see. There's another little tent just over there. Another little encampment out the back here. Bits and bobs around. Strewn out all over the floor. What is happening to this city? Look at the state of this area. A huge encampment there. Big tent, seems to be a wooden shack of some kind over there, and just loads and loads of rubbish, sleeping bags, bicycles, all just strewn about the place. Remember, this is the second most expensive city to live in outside of London, and we are right in the centre of the city. In one of the recreational parks, you can see there's a homemade shack of some kind. Just tons and tons of rubbish everywhere. I can't believe this. Campfire there. It looks like a shanty town. There's another tent just laid out. I've got to be honest, guys, it is a bit shocking to see so many tents set up in the middle of the city centre. I'm just heading towards an area in Bristol. Now, this is a bit of a hub for a lot of the problems and issues that are ongoing here in Bristol. There seems to be a number of homeless encampments that have been set up in the centre of the park. But also, there's been a number of reports of violent activity. Just 2 days ago, a man was stabbed repeatedly in the legs. And I can see already there's a number of encampments that have been set up in the park. You can see a big homeless encampment over there. Been rather loud and shouting, so I'm going to keep my distance on that one. You can see there's more tents. Got one there, got one hiding up behind the trees just over there. I see one over there, there's one over there, and then there's a few over here. Remember, guys, to like, comment and subscribe. When I film content like this, I want it to go out to as wide an audience as possible. And with your help, we can do that. I've got to say, having grown up just down the road from Bristol, things have got so much worse over the last 5 to 10 years. The amount of homelessness and poverty on the streets of Bristol now is overwhelming. It's shocking. And what we've seen today isn't even the tip of the iceberg. There's over 20,000 households that are currently on the housing waiting list within Bristol. The numbers are absolutely shocking. There's 21,000 people on the current waiting list, but there's only 27,000 houses, and they're already occupied. You can see how many caravans are here overlooking one of the recreational grounds in Bristol. Huge numbers. As you guys know, I have covered caravan city in two previous videos on my channel. Bristol is known for having more people living in cars and caravans than anywhere else in the country. But people are going one better now. Growing up on the outskirts of Bristol, there was always an urban legend and urban myths about people living in the caves underneath Bristol. So today, we're heading out to investigate this. You can see just how high up the cliff we are, and somewhere through the woods are the cave dwellers. You can see how inaccessible this area is. Who knows if the rumours are actually correct, but there's only one way to find out. You can see just how difficult it is. I'm on the side of a cliff. You can see someone's actually sleeping out of the back, underneath the covers just there. Things have got so bad in Bristol, people have literally reverted back to the Stone Age and are now inhabiting caves. You can see a shelter's been made over the top of where the fellow's sleeping. I'm literally in shock. I can't believe this. That things have got this bad for some people, that they're now having to live in caves, up on the side of a cliff. Honestly, I cannot believe that. Growing up on the outskirts of Bristol, there was all these urban myths and urban legends of people that were living in the caves, but I just thought it was a myth. Honestly, I just thought it was a myth. To actually find these encampments is shocking. Truly shocking. Yeah, so you were saying about the homeless situation in and around Bristol.
Yeah, it's basically, it's not as people think. It's actually more a system itself. People have this idea that the system sorts it all out and all the rest of it, but the fact is you can't get anything sorted at the minute. Especially we're finding for British people, if you don't have an addiction or a health problem, or you can't be classified as having a mental health issue, you just don't get anything on the system. It's that simple.
So if you're not a drug addict or you're not suffering from mental health, you feel that there's basically real lack of help.
It's like a prerequisite to get your housing, and you get held down until such time as you agree with that. And that's, and people think it's, that's the excuse for it. Yeah, there's a lot of people who, have these issues, but there's loads of people out there that, they're just turning up saying, I just want my money and stuff to get on with my life, and they're not being allowed. It's a bit sad, but yeah, the whole system, I mean, there's a lot of charities out there that are getting paid vast amounts of money.
Yeah.
And yet you look around, same people are on the streets.
Yeah.
So what's going on? Why is there no recirculation with people getting off the streets? Because you've got lots of charities using these people. Now, charities, a lot of them are good, especially the food charities and stuff like that, mm-hmm. that hand out clothes, showers, food. But when it comes to the charities getting people off the street, it's almost like, sorry, but you have to be an addict, or you have to have a disability, or you have to have a mental health illness, which is pretty insulting. People still think you can get job seekers, but you can't always, you can't necessarily, it's almost impossible to get job seekers for a lot of people out in the streets anyway.
Yeah, well, you touched on the fact that without an address, you can't get a bank account, and then without the bank account, you can't then get the universal credit, the payment.
You can't have everybody, in the world who becomes homeless suddenly registered with some church or, their address or a charity. I mean, some people do that, but the fact is you just shouldn't have to. We've got British society that says that it provides housing, provides a basic amount of money, and basically, unless you agree to be, to have some sort of addiction or something, you don't get that.
Yeah.
So that's when you look at everybody around, it's just stagnant. The big charities that are supposed to be helping people off the street, they've sat with me and they've said, have you got this, have you got that? Of course I haven't got these documents, or of course I haven't got these things.
Yeah.
I even went into HSBC, I said, you've got a homeless bank account, can I get one? And they said, yeah, but you need an address. I was like, what are you on about?
Hold on a minute, so a homeless bank account, yet you need an address?
Yeah, you still have to have an address for a homeless bank account.
It's goodness.
I said, you're joking? And they went, no, we have to register it to somewhere. I said, well, you don't have a homeless bank account then. I said, it's stupid, and so this is the thing, the general population get shown this amazing work that all these charities and everything are doing, but actually the same people are still without anything years mm-hmm. and years later, until they sort of say they've got this problem with themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a systematic thing. That's from community to community. That's all the way across the country.
Yeah.
That's how the communities work
yeah.
in Britain. Is basically you come into a community, you've got to be sort of almost degraded to nothing before the community accepts you back in or accepts you into their community. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens in the background. But yeah, what the public is being told is, like, basically, we've got systems in place for all this. And yeah, the system's there, but it doesn't mean you can use it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just being stopped until you comply to sort of degrade yourself even further.
It's absolutely crazy, isn't it? And so how long have you been here for then?
Well, I've actually been... I don't always stay here.
Yeah.
Over many years, probably about 6 or 7 years.
Really?
Originally, there was a Polish guy who built a hut in it.
Yeah.
There was an older guy who used to live in a tent out in the back cave. There's a cave out behind it. And I originally started living in a cave. There's another side cave.
Is that?
Yeah, I had a double duvet in there.
Did you?
Yeah.
And so how is it sleeping in the caves?
You know, as long as you've got experience.
Yeah, because you've touched on, you've got a lot of experience with outdoor pursuits and that type of thing, haven't you?
I used to teach and train people for us.
Oh, there you go, then.
15 years, so, and also I've got mountaineer experience around the world. But the thing is, yeah, it's all right for a while. You know, a lot of people come out and think it's like, well, yeah, it's great, it's wonderful. It's
yeah.
Right until suddenly, you know, it becomes winter and...
Oh, of course. You know. So do you stay in through the winter as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and how... like I say, I'm not here all the time,
mm-hmm.
but I do pop back, stay here for a bit, see some people I know and sort of generally take care of the place.
Yeah.
Sure that, you know, whoever turned out, that I've already cleaned 6 bagfuls of cans and bottles out of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was loads of old sleeping bags that were, you know, you wouldn't ever want to sleep in again. So we got rid of all them and basically cleaned out all the crap.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do that for a week or two or whatever, and then it just sorts it all out for another year. So as people come down here, it's not just a crap hole.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like... also, it's not dangerous. Bits of sort of wattle and daub wall falling down, you know.
Yeah.
So they're just coming and taking care of it, sort of. Make sure that it's pretty safe.
Yeah, because you can see it's actually really clean inside. You can see that it's all swept through underneath. There's no rubbish about the place or anything like that.
Yeah, it's actually last night I sorted out the you see it leading in, you can see some dark mud there just below
yeah,
the step,
just over there.
Yeah, I leveled all that because it was you know people come in and they could trip over and stuff, so and cleaned it all out last night. But I've also been cleaning out the water as well, because some people obviously will turn up and use that sometimes.
Of course. So is that clean water or
yeah, it's rain water. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I've used it. I use it. It's just there was a lot of mud in there, dead leaves. So the other day I cleaned it out. That's probably the first time in about. Well, it's probably the first time it's ever been done, to be honest.
Yeah, because it looks like it's ran through the stonework, through the stone as well.
Yeah, it does drip straight through. It actually drips through here.
So it acts like a natural filter, that one,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is, I've just put the chipping wire in around the front here,
mm-hmm.
to stop the leaves getting into the main pool.
Ah, getting blown through.
Yeah, because this was about 2 inches thick of dead rotten leaves.
Was it?
Yeah, it was pretty stunning.
So you've done a really good job cleaning it all up and everything then as well.
That's what the sink's for. It's
of course, can I have a quick little look?
Yeah, it's a filter. It's a filter. It's just a basic filter with a couple of old woolly hats in there to fill all the crap out. And a pillow and stuff just to... It's actually got most of the stuff out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So you can now see for the first time ever, you can see to the bottom of the pool.
You can see.
Never been able to.
Yeah, you can see. It's pretty clear in there, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, there's just this image that people who... I don't necessarily agree with the word homeless. I think that's like a system way of sort of attacking people. But most people sort of tend to say NFA.
No fixed abode, yeah.
Yeah, because that covers everything, whether you're camping, whether you're sleeping in a squatted building, or, you know, whatever, whether you're on a sofa at someone's house. It's just sort of become this, as soon as you say homeless, for the actual system of society, you're deemed to be nothing, you're deemed to be worthless. You know?
I often say within my videos, I often say that homelessness comes in many different forms, and often when you say the word homeless, people instantly think of rough sleepers on the street.
And drunks and druggies.
And
it's not that. I mean, in Bristol, we've got a massive homeless community.
Yeah.
We don't say NFA community, because obviously...
It sounds a bit strange.
A bit weird. But, yeah, there is a huge homeless community, and a lot of people have known each other for a long, long time. I've known guys here people here for about 9 years, and it's not just people on the street we know. We know people in charities, we know people in churches, mm-hmm. and religions, and, you know, wherever people are going, you get to know people, just like you do in you know, if you're living in a house.
And so is this the shelter that you've built over there then? Do you get drips through or something like that?
Right, if you come, coming on here, I built this a long time ago,
yeah,
quite a few years ago, basically because originally my mate built this hut here,
yeah,
Mr. Magic, and I was originally just sleeping here in the middle of the cave.
Yeah.
And it was fine. But there was one day where it's only ever happened once, mm-hmm, where the wind came straight down through the cave,
oh,
and also came straight in through the mouth of the cave. I've never had it happen before or after, and it was Baltic. It was extremely cold.
I can imagine it was freezing, yeah.
And I could put up with the cold, but that just, you know, it was the only time it happened. So I realised that basically there was a need for a proper shelter.
Yeah.
Because this hut is open at the end of that, the wind can go straight through. And also, this was somebody else's hut. They built it. When you're living outdoors, homeless or anything like that, there's a sort of bit of, some people have a bit of a stigma about, you know, it's sort of his hut and, mm-hmm, you know, where he's been sleeping. I don't really want to be sleeping on top of that again, but
right,
unless I have to. But short term, it's all right. But if you're staying long term, yeah. So I built this, and basically it's got a wood burner in there, a stone wood burner and everything like that.
Blimey.
So I'm able to survive. I've been out here before in the snow, and it's been beautiful. Snow's been coming down, and you look out the cave, and it's surreal. It's like,
I can imagine.
Yeah,
I can imagine, because where we're set as well, it's not the most accessible place in the world either, is it? So it's nicely out of the way. That's for sure.
It's a bit of a trek in, especially at night. I usually come back at night because I go out and see people. And the pathway in is not horrific, but, you know, it is, to the average person, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting here, definitely.
But I suppose that is a bonus for you, really, isn't it? I suppose being off the beaten track a little bit, you're not going to get bothered
by
people.
You don't want to be so far out that you're absolutely disjointed. Well, it doesn't bother me, to be honest, because of my past, my training. But you don't really, if you can get to a point of disjointing yourself so far from society that you sort of you realise, well, hang on a minute, you know, I haven't spoken to someone for so long, it's just unreal.
Goodness me, yeah.
So you don't sort of necessarily want that, but at the same time, you need to go far enough away or have somewhere out of the way far enough that basically you've got your own space, your own sort of, you know, if say something was to go wrong in town, you could come back to somewhere.
And you've got security.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it, at the moment?
I mean, it's not a problem if people turn up. People have turned up, like yourselves turned up. And it's like, it's not a problem or an issue. It's just like, you know, you need somewhere out of the way, your own safe space. I mean, some people know, there's quite a few people that know that I do stay here, mm-hmm, when I'm back. Tend to call me a caveman, so
right.
It seems straightforward. But again, that's great in one way. In another way, I still don't know who could turn up.
Mm.
So, you know, I've even got to have a backup plan to this.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I turned up here and there was a load of people here I didn't necessarily want here and they wouldn't shift,
mm-hmm,
am I going to just, you know, get into trouble with these people over, you know, them staying here for a while until they get pissed off and leave?
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to go, well, if you really like that, I'll just go into town and see some people or something. I'm just leaving to it. Eventually, they'll move on.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah, I suspect it takes real commitment to be able to live here, really, and knowledge.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of history. People don't realise. They just sort of think, oh, you're homeless. You know, you don't know anything. You're sort of there and that's that, you know. And they treat you quite differently to everyday society. If I, you know, I tell a couple of people about what I've done in my past, you know, in my work and, mm-hmm, my outdoor stuff, and they're like, wow, you know, and people have said, oh, write a book, and I've gone, well, I'm still living.
Yeah, I'm still living, yeah.
People write books when they get bored and they want to settle down and retire, you know,
stuff. That's cool,
like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is, you do get treated quite a bit different. It's just it's a natural thing. I don't think people want to do it, but it's society that's taught these people, no, homeless people are criminals, homeless people are drug addicts, homeless people are alcoholics, and, you know, it's just this thing that's been taught, and it's actually not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk around, see a homeless person having a beer, and you think, oh my god, look, homeless person, beer, awful. Yet you're all right with your mates going into a pub and having 20 beers on a Friday night, coming out and fighting.
There you go, mate.
You know, and it's just, you know, it's just stupid. So yeah, you do have people who are homeless sort of this idea is different. They don't realise that there actually is communities of people.
Yeah.
you know, and it's not all just, we actually know who the ones who are taking all the drugs, yeah, and drink. You know, we're going to speak to him, not because we want to get into that or anything, because, you know, if you do what society does, which is just basically treat these people like they're nothing,
yeah,
they only get worse.
That's it, mate.
You know, so you treat them as part of the community. If they get out of hand, you're sort of straight with them, but not nasty, you know, and you just sort of, you don't disrespect each other. You know, you get a few people who get pissed up and stuff like that, but you get that in normal society.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And yet we're people who are out on the streets or homeless or whatever you want to, NFA, it's like, oh, no, they're bad for it, no? You know, we actually have to survive on nothing most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I haven't had any money for 9-10 years, something like that, off the bat. And people are like, oh, well, you know, they just get paid money. No, that's not the case. We actually go and see people we know. Just because I live like this, this is how I decide to live, you know, in essence. And each person over there decides to live however they want to.
Yeah.
And it's the same as anybody living in houses, really. You know, you decide which house you want to live in. You decide where you want to live, who you want to surround yourself with, and how you want to interact with people. Same with people who are on the street, same with people who are homeless.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you get some wrongings, you're always going to get some wrongings, but that's the same in every part of life.
Totally.
It's just, you know, your society tells everybody, oh no, these people are dangerous and wrong, and it's just not the case, you know.
That's what I found too, mate.
Yeah, you know, you got a lot of people that have got, look like they got a lot of time, but actually, you've got to be quite busy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 24-hour thing, like...
Well, guys, that was the city of Bristol. What an eye-opening experience that was today.